A service for Palm Sunday, Sunday of the Passion, March 29th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh, and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience, and be made partakers of his resurrection, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Palm Sunday reading is from John chapter 12. The next day the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion! See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him had continued to spread the word that he had called Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And now a sermon entitled, "Thy Kingdom Come," and it is based upon verses from the 27th chapter of Matthew. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is an unusual Sunday in that it is Palm Sunday and Sunday of the Passion, and they're all rolled into one. On the one hand, these go together, but on the other hand, they are both very different. They go together in that they both are Palm Sunday reading at the beginning and the Passion reading, "Hail Jesus as King." Clearly, they are correct to do so. From the time of his birth, Jesus was considered the newborn King of the Jews by the Magi. When Jesus returns at the end of time, he shall do so as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He certainly was king on Palm Sunday, and he was king on Good Friday. However, those 2 days, though only 5 days apart, are far, far from each other. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem, as King David once did, on a donkey. The people honored him as he came, casting their garments before him and waving palm fronds. The people cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Hosanna means, "Lord, save us." Jesus was their king who was humbly and gently coming to them in order to reign gloriously over them. What more could they hope for? After all, it was noted that some in the crowd had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead. How fantastic was that! Those who saw it could not help but continue to bear witness of it. The crowds on Palm Sunday grew, since the reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. Who in their right mind wouldn't want a king like Jesus? Well, as it turns out, there were some who didn't want a king like Jesus. These were those who should have known better, for they were the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees. With what had happened with Jesus raising Lazarus, and now what was happening with the crowds calling out Hosanna to their king, greatly disturbed them. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that we are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." More than anything, they wanted Jesus dead. During Holy Week, Christians will emphasize in their worship how traps were set, causing Jesus to be betrayed, arrested, accused, and then handed over to Pontius Pilate. This takes us to the Passion part of this Sunday. In this context, Passion means suffering. Those put in charge of Jesus caused him to suffer as a king. You see, after Pilate reluctantly gave Jesus the death sentence, he handed him over to a battalion of soldiers. Now, those selected from the battalion were likely the worst of the worst. They likely were mercenaries who each had their own personal reasons for hating Jews in general, and now they had been given one whom they were free to mistreat. Knowing that the charge against him was King of the Jews, they got very creative in how they would direct their sport against him. It wouldn't be pretty, for already after the scourging, Jesus' body was shredded and tattered. Therefore, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. That would keep any disapproving eyes off of how they intended to hail this king. There, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. The crown of thorns would be pressed upon his brow, adding to Jesus' agony, filling his eyes and face with blood. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" To them, as with the Pharisees, Jesus was not a king to worship. Their hail was hollow. We know it too, for then they spit on him, and they took the reed, and they struck him on the head. And so our Lord was mistreated as king. This he endured for a time, but after they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. They would enthrone this king upon a cross, again stripped bare, nails pounded in his hands and feet, likely leaving the crown of thorns upon his sacred head throughout the ordeal. My friends, the question for you and me today, together with all people for that matter, is what kind of a king do we see Jesus as? Is he one to be abused and mocked, calling out for him to be crucified? Or is he one to be hailed and worshipped, calling out to him, "Hosanna, Lord, save us"? Most of the Pharisees, the Good Friday crowd, and those in the Roman battalion were in the first camp. Most of the disciples, the Palm Sunday crowd, and the women who accompanied him were in the second camp. We might even say a few were uncertain, for example, Pilate. But still, there are only two camps. One either considers Jesus a king to be worshipped or a king to be mocked. Yet how can one not believe in him? As a certain hymn asks, "What makes this rage and spite? He made the lame to run. He gave the blind their sight." And let's not forget that Jesus had just recently raised Lazarus from the dead. He proved time and again that he is the King of divine love. But unbelief is mankind's default setting. This is due to sin. It blinds us so that we cannot see the truth even when it is plain and evident before us. We require assistance to see Jesus as he really is, that we might truly confess him as our Lord and King, and call upon him for salvation. Our text tells us how Jesus wasn't the only one crucified that day. It says two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. It further tells us that they both reviled Jesus. However, one of them, like Pilate, must have in between the two camps, and yet he couldn't take a long time to make up his mind. However, at some point before the end, with the Spirit's help, he did, allowing him to see Jesus, the man on the cross in the middle, as the king who could save him. St. Luke is the one who tells us how this thief confessed Jesus as his saving Lord, saying to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Upon his confession, Jesus responded, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Friends, by the grace of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you and I too can worship Jesus as our King. our King loved us so much that he endured the abuse, including the betrayal, the scourging, the thorns, the spitting, the mocking, and the crucifixion, that he might shed redeeming blood for the forgiveness of our sins. What wondrous love we receive from the Lamb of God, who is our Shepherd King. Though unbelief is our default due to sin, the evidence points powerfully that Jesus is the one in whom to believe. There's a lot of evidence to confirm this. The best and most powerful is what we will gather next Sunday to reflect upon. You see, though Jesus yielded up his spirit from the cross, and though his body was sealed in a tomb, and though that tomb was guarded, on the third day Jesus came back to life. Jesus rose from the dead just as he said he would. This means that he is the one in whom to believe, and it means that all who die trusting in Jesus as their King, who can save them from their sin, will rise again from the dead. When we die, our souls go to paradise, just as Jesus told the repentant thief. However, one day the dead in Christ shall return with him to be reunited to their bodies, which shall be raised imperishable from the dead. And that is why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. We pray that it comes to us as we believe in him. We pray that it comes to others, that their eyes too might be open to the truth of what kind of King Jesus is. We work to this end also, sharing the good news through which the Spirit promises to work. And we pray that Jesus' kingdom comes to one day raise the dead and make all things new again, paradise restored. There's another one whom we might mention who seems to have changed camps with respect to his view of King Jesus. He's the centurion, the man in charge of the battalion of ruffians. Our text tells us that when he saw all that happened when Jesus died, he said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Hopefully that was a confession of faith. Upon this unusual Sunday, Palm Sunday and the Sunday of the Passion, keep confessing Jesus as your King, calling out to him, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Hosanna. Amen." And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who sent your Son to take our nature upon him and to suffer death on the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of his great humility, mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in his patience, and also have our portion in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.